This is Ted Kennedy. The special prosecutor dropped two charges against Oliver North, but the trial should go on. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the special prosecutor dropped a bombshell when he decided to drop the two most significant charges against Oliver North and the Iran-Contra prosecution. The Reagan administration made it impossible for the trial to go forward on those charges when it refused to declassify documents needed in the case. That leaves a bad taste, Al. National security is paramount, but the administration's action conveniently protects it from further embarrassment in the scandal. We may never know the full dimensions of the arms for hostage deal and North's secret war against the Contras. Still, those questions weren't answered in the congressional hearings, and it's unlikely they would have been answered at the trial. Not much has been lost, Al. A dozen other charges are pending against North, and the trial should go forward. You're not one of those right-wingers who think North should be pardoned, are you, Al?
Nope, but there you go again, Ted. For a civil libertarian of note, you dropped a stitch again. Lynch mobs are supposed to be a part of the past. That's why Oliver North is being tried in a court of law, and he still faces some criminal charges. And oh, Ted, do bear in mind they are just charges. Oliver North is innocent until sufficient evidence is presented in a court of law to justify a finding of guilt. You seem to think he's guilty unless proven innocent. That's not quite the way it reads in the Constitution, Ted. President Reagan has ruled out any possible pardon before a trial is conducted. If after a fair trial Oliver North is found guilty, then the president may consider if mitigating circumstances make a pardon proper. Oliver North, just like all other American citizens, is presumed innocent by our legal system. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the inauguration of George Bush. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. It's Inauguration Day. George Bush brings extraordinary qualifications to the office of president. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. George Bush is a man of great compassion, political savvy, and respect for his fellow humans. I know of no person anywhere in our government who knows more about the office to be attained before he or she is actually sworn in. And George Bush knows he faces awesome challenges ahead. We must have real budget reforms to reduce the awful federal budget deficit. Nuclear weapons facilities need immediate and responsible attention. Right the listing savings and loans, environmental issues, clean air, the cleanup of our oceans, and solid waste disposal are very top priority. I do know that George Bush will work well with the Congress to try to craft bipartisan solutions. Let's make the honeymoon last, Ted, and don't you be the first to knock in the bridal suite door.
Al, from what I hear, the jilted right wing may be the unwanted guest on this honeymoon. They're more upset than Democrats about the moderate George Bush we've seen since the election. Nevertheless, the inauguration of a new president is a special time for optimism, and I wish President Bush well. The voters spoke clearly last November, Al, a little too clearly for my taste. Still, the partisan controversies of the election have faded, and President Bush deserves credit for the impressive transition. He's used the time wisely to heal the divisions from the campaign and bring the country together. Once again, we have a divided government with a Republican administration and Democratic Congress. Inevitably, there'll be battles ahead. But President Bush has earned a reasonable honeymoon. He deserves a chance to put his policies in place. President Bush will find Congress ready and willing to work with him, not against him. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on ERA and Equal Rights for Women. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Could 1989 be the year for ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, as the new Congress gets underway, one of the top priorities is to end discrimination against women by making ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, part of the Constitution. The need is compelling for a constitutional guarantee against sex discrimination. Piecemeal statutory prohibitions have been tried and failed. They haven't given women the same comprehensive educational, economic, and employment opportunities available to men. The flagrant facts of sex discrimination in society are indisputable, and they won't go away, Al. Women with college degrees earn less on the average than men who never finished high school. Most working women are still clustered in occupations at the bottom of the pay scale. More women than ever are living in poverty. A constitutional amendment is the best way to change all that, Al. Let's ratify ERA and guarantee women the equal rights they deserve.
We're heading into the 1990s, Ted, and you still got your time machine stuck in the 1970s. Women today want specific legislation on the books dealing with child care, equal credit, and salary opportunities. The real agenda of American women goes much beyond the words of the Equal Rights Amendment. Women are making progress in the workplace. We have seen significant changes in family law, welfare reform, property settlements, and child support. We have seen a growing recognition of the financial status of homemakers. More women are being admitted to our military academies. The bitter fight to ratify the ERA lasted 10 years, and it failed. But we now realize the key to equal rights is not this hollow amendment. There's lots more to it than that, Ted. It's called legislating. Won't you join me? This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on child care legislation. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Republicans and Democrats alike should join forces now for a responsible child care bill. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, working mothers and fathers need to have the ability and the right to make good child care decisions. Parents who decide to stay at home are entitled to quality choices as well. I would support a plan that includes a new children's tax credit for all families, as well as a refundable dependent care tax credit. We ought to encourage more employers to sponsor their own daycare programs. The bottom line, reducing government intrusion while giving parents a real choice when it comes to child care. We ought to be able to provide proper care opportunities without raiding the Treasury. There is a whole generation of children growing up out there without the quality child care they need. Those children deserve the full bipartisan attention of this Congress.
Al, that's a very different tune from what you were singing a few months ago. Remember? You were leading the right-wing filibuster that blocked Congress from acting on the very sort of child care proposal you're pushing for now. I'll say this, Al, as you get older, you get wiser. In this case, the voters expedited your education by making clear that your obstruction of child care legislation was unacceptable. Rip Van Winkle Simpson finally woke up to the fact that millions of women have entered the workforce in the past 20 years. Half of all children under six have mothers who work outside the home. Many of those young children are exposed to expensive, overcrowded, unsupervised, unsafe daycare conditions. Safe, affordable daycare is the domestic issue of the new year, Al, and if your filibuster-minded colleagues share your about-face, it's one challenge we can meet. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the surprising new taxes hidden in President Reagan's farewell budget. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. For a president who doesn't like taxes, Ronald Reagan sent a strange final budget to Congress. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a funny thing happened to Ronald Reagan's last budget on the way to the Capitol. President Reagan had trouble reading George Bush's lips. His budget includes $6 billion in new taxes. $6 billion, Al. There's over $2 billion in what are euphemistically called user fees and similar revenues. $2 billion more dollars will be collected from state and local government workers by waiving their exemption and forcing them to pay into Medicare. With creative budgeting like that, Al, Congress and the administration just might be able to do business in reducing the deficit. Rosie Scenario, that famous leading lady of past productions, is back for a final curtain call. Cooking the numbers to make the deficit smaller is an old Reagan trick, but it doesn't fool Congress anymore. Let's hope President Bush doesn't try that gimmick too, Al.
Rosie Scenario? Is she related to your old pal Ernest Partisanship? Ted, the director of OMB, George Bush's guy, has made it so very clear. If it looks like a tax and the American people think it's a tax, and George Bush sure will reject it. By the time they pay this year's tax bill, a two-earner, median-income family will pay $5,600 in federal income taxes plus $3,500 in Social Security tax. That totals 19.5% of this family's 1988 income. It's up to Congress to work with President Bush to bring down the federal budget deficit. And there are new suggestions, biennial budgeting, a flexible spending freeze, and revenue raisers that aren't taxes. Ted, we need creativity, not gimmickry, to deal with this budget. Let's see you show some leadership, too. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on left-wing violence in El Salvador. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Leftist rebels have started a new and more violent round of assaults on democracy in El Salvador. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, I feel sure you would join with me in condemning the actions of leftist rebels in El Salvador. The United States has been very supportive of the democratic elections held in El Salvador, but the Marxist rebels have killed any number of local officials. Many of the democratically elected mayors have received death threats, and they are resigning in droves, fearful for their own lives. The rebels are treacherous persons whose actions now clearly indicate they have no intention to give voice to the people. With those lugs in power, there would be no free elections. Not only do they make the political choices of the citizenry, they place no value on human life. Surely we are united in damning the methods they use to achieve power. What side are you now on there, Ted?
Al, the escalating violence in El Salvador is an ominous sign of bigger problems to come. For a decade, Congress and the past administrations worked together with some success. We shored up the moderates in El Salvador with U.S. aid. Under the courageous leadership of President Duarte, government corruption was reduced and reforms were achieved in the repressive Salvadorian military. We insisted on human rights and clamped down on the brutality of the government-sanctioned right-wing death squads. But with President Duarte seriously ill, violence has now crept back up to the highest levels in 3 years. In their scheme to destabilize the country, the Marxist guerrillas have turned to a savage campaign of terrorism and assassination against government officials in rural areas. The best hope, Al, is that with the continuing strong U.S. support, democracy in El Salvador can weather this crisis. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Yellowstone Park fires. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Was the Forest Service right to adopt a let-it-burn policy in Yellowstone Park last summer? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you're the resident expert on today's issue, but I think I speak for millions of Americans across the country who were shocked and saddened last summer by the vast and highly destructive forest fires that ravaged large areas of one of our greatest treasures, the crown jewel of our national park system, Yellowstone Park. The heart of the argument is whether the Park Service and the Forest Service were right or wrong in adopting a let-it-burn policy. The theory seems to be that when forest fires are started by lightning or other natural causes instead of by humans, it's nature's way of regenerating the wilderness, and we shouldn't interfere. Now an interagency team has ratified the policy, but in such ambiguous terms that the controversy is still raging. Where do you stand, Al? Is the right policy let it burn or put it out?
Ted, the towering fires that raged through Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks last summer were devastating. By the time the Department of Interior vowed to fight each and every fire, rather than let her burn, it was too late. Nearly 1 million acres went up in smoke. The real question is not just over the Park Service's fire policy. The debate involves the overall management of those crown jewels of the nation's park system. For years, I advocated an active stewardship of the land, a policy that would have allowed for prescribed burns early on. By doing that, the tinder dry fuel source would not have been as plentiful, and last year's summer devastation not nearly so vast. We are now witnessing the rebirth of Yellowstone, Ted. It wasn't as bad as portrayed. It's magnificent now in full winter splendor. Seeing the regrowth in the spring may well be intriguing, but let's be certain it doesn't happen that way again. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. We'll be right back.
This is Ted Kennedy. President Reagan cut the wrong education program in his last federal budget. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of President Reagan's most indefensible cuts in the budget he sent Congress was his decision to zero out STAR schools, the new education program signed into law last year. At $20 million a year, Al, STAR schools ain't no budget buster. The idea is to create telecommunication networks in various regions of the country, especially in rural areas. That way, satellites and TV can beam quality instruction into local schools in courses like math, science, and foreign languages. Many public schools in smaller jurisdictions can't afford to train and pay good teachers to offer these courses, but quality instruction can still be accessible with a satellite dish outside the schoolhouse door. If George Bush intends to be the education president now, a good way to get there is by putting STAR schools back in the budget.
Ted, you're right. The concept of the STAR schools program is very important. The program became law as part of the Elementary and Secondary Improvement Amendments of 1988. And yes, I voted in favor of the legislation, funding virtually every federal assistance program to elementary and secondary education. But let's take an honest look at what happened. The STAR Schools program has already been funded by the federal government for $35 million. At least two of the four original demonstration projects were already in operation, providing math, science, and foreign language instruction to rural communities by way of satellite communications. You see, Ted, it was already being done. Quality instruction of technical courses is already accessible to our rural elementary and secondary schools. We'll see that it continues to be available without sticking the feds with another $100 million price tag for senseless duplication. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The key issues of the 101st Congress are right here before us. Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the congressional agenda in a moment. Ted, Republicans and Democrats can usually agree on the most pressing issues that confront us. I have a slight hunch we might disagree as to the kind of solution, but the agenda is surely clear. Dealing with the heavy budget deficit tops the list. In fact, fills up the whole first page. And the American people have linked up with President Bush in demanding that we tackle the budget without raising their taxes. There are some gut-hard domestic issues that affect the American people in their daily lives. Long-term health care, minimum wage, child care and education, the anguish of the homeless, serious discord in Central America, and the continuing threat of terrorism. We in Congress ought to find a sensible common ground for campaign finance reform. Our ethics laws need changing. It's a full plate, Ted. Ready to grab a knife and fork and get at it?
Al, anyone can list the issues. The question is, what are you doing about them? Take the deficit. President Bush's Read My Lips, No New Taxes pledge is a little threadbare lately. The inauguration was barely over when the administration sent its economists out on a kamikaze mission to convince consumers that a fee on savings and loan deposits wouldn't be a tax. Administration policymakers slipped up, Al. They pledged they wouldn't play word games on taxes. They said if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Well, the administration's SNL fee began quacking like a tax as soon as it was floated. Forget that the fee will discourage savings. Forget that it makes innocent depositors scapegoats for SNL mismanagement. But how could they forget to read the president's lips? The last thing we need after Reaganomics is more economic quackery. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the coming labor shortage, threatening our economy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is Senator Al Simpson ready to help solve the coming labor shortage? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Al, for the first time since World War II, we're heading into a potentially serious nationwide labor shortage, an economy with more jobs than workers. That's bad news for the future, unless we adopt wiser employment and educational policies now. One cause of the labor shortage is our Alice in Wonderland welfare system. Millions of people on welfare would take work if the minimum wage wasn't a sub-poverty wage, if they didn't lose their Medicaid health benefits, and if they had decent daycare for their children. Another cause of the labor shortage is today's schools. They're not turning out students with skills needed in today's workplace. Business leaders are more and more alarmed about the high costs dumped on them to bring workers up to speed on basic skills they should have learned in school. Face up to the labor shortage in 89, Al, or face a labor crisis in the 1990s.
Ted, you union-dominated Democrats always come up with the old surefire proposals to address the labor shortage, but you push the proposals that actually destroy jobs. The minimum wage increase is one such proposal. Don't salivate. By raising that minimum wage without creating a sub-minimum training wage, you raise the labor costs of employers. That means fewer jobs created and lots of low-skilled jobs disappear outright. Then you're mandating that every single employer provide the same level of health benefits for its employees, raises the cost of doing business, and puts many small businesses out of business. The Reagan administration did bring about an unprecedented growth in employment. Now you're complaining there aren't enough workers? But you rail and rankle at policies like the training wage that would help to relieve the problem. Ted, you've always been right in union's pocket. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the European ban on U.S. beef. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The European community is now threatening to muddle up free and open trade with the United States. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, an open and fair system of trade is quite essential to the relationship between the United States and Europe. The European community has threatened us now by imposing a ban on beef that has nothing at all to do with legitimate health concerns. In response to the wholly unwarranted ban, the United States then imposed trade sanctions worth some $100 billion, an amount equal to the losses inflicted on the U.S. beef interests, and the European community let her rip by threatening new sanctions on additional U.S. goods. It's a very serious and regrettable threat. The European community ought to put an end to these dangerous trade practices. Until they stop, U.S. military commissaries in Europe should buy and sell only U.S. meat. The United States just can't stand by and see American products so crudely treated.
Al, that's a legitimate beef. A nasty food fight is erupting between the United States and Europe. Both sides ought to pull back before it gets any worse. The current battle is especially ominous because it's being played out against fears of an all-out trade war when the Europeans launched their so-called single market in 1992. But you didn't get all your facts straight, Al. Health did play a role in the European decision on beef. They have stronger consumer protection laws than we do, and they don't permit hormone treatment of their own homegrown meat. So they also decided to ban hormones and imports from the U.S. as well. But European enforcement is lax. Some of their cattle growers have been caught using black market hormones, and that meat is more dangerous than any imports. Still, an escalating trade war isn't the answer, Al. It's time for the administration to negotiate peace on beef. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Bush administration's new breeze in the Pentagon budget. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Pentagon blank check days are over. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of President Bush's first budget tests is what reductions, if any, he'll propose in the Reagan military buildup. The trillion-dollar, eight-year Pentagon spending spree is over. Reaganomics left town with Reagan, and everyone but Al Simpson and the right wing knows it. One expert compares the problem to a contractor on a 100-story building who suddenly discovers he can only afford 65 floors. Congress and the administration are going back to the drawing board to produce a full-service 65-story building, not the hollow shell of a taller skyscraper, and we'll get a leaner, better defense in the bargain. Even President Reagan may have seen the handwriting on the Pentagon wall. He put $6 or $7 billion in the Pentagon budget that he may well have expected to be cut. Is that your view too, Al, or do you still have your eye on that 100-story skyscraper?
I'll go for 70 stories. In the world according to Garp, I mean Kennedy, there are only two stereotypes of senators, the ones who care about the poor and the ones who coddle defense. Count me in both groups, Ted, among those who always backed responsible and measured growth in the defense budget. I support a strong defense, but that puts me right there in the mainstream of the American Congress and right in tune with a lot of American people. Over the past 20 years, both the Soviet Union and the United States heavily increased defense spending. But the Soviets jacked theirs up twice as much as the United States. In fact, the U.S. defense budget has gone from 7.2% of the GNP in 1965 to 6% in 1985. Providing for the nation's defense isn't some easy black and white issue, Ted. It's bringing us peace, and we have an INF treaty. You shouldn't be so simplistic when you talk it. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Fighting Pork Barrel Spending. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Long past time we haul out every single available weapon in the battle of the budget. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, you say you support giving the president line item veto authority, allowing the president to knock out specific items within an appropriation bill if he felt that the item was a budget buster. But you Democrats lived in fear of handing Ronald Reagan any such authority, and it was denied him all through his 8 years as president. Let's beef up President George Bush's powers when it comes to dealing with pork barrel spending. Let's give him the line item veto authority. Let's go one step further. We ought to strengthen the already existing authority to rescind spending. Congress ought to be forced to vote up or down once the president gives the order to rescind specific budget items. As it now stands, Congress just ducks the issue by simply not acting, and we end up supporting some shameful spending schemes. What say you, Ted? Ready to join me in putting our votes where our mouths are?
Al, once again, you didn't check your facts. I'm on your side today. I'm all for the line item veto. It's an especially worthwhile reform because it has the virtue of being tried and tested successfully in practice. It's worked well for years for the governors of almost all the states, and it's time the President of the United States had that budget tool as well. Under present law, when Congress ships legislation to the White House, the President is faced with a take-it-or-leave-it decision. Sign the whole bill or veto the whole bill. But with a line item veto, he can pick out provisions he doesn't like, veto them alone, and sign the rest of the measure. That makes sense, Al, especially today. Congress has started sending mammoth bills to the president with dozens of controversial riders tucked aboard. With a line item veto, the president can stop that trick and weed bad provisions out of good bills. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The honeymoon between Congress and the administration could end suddenly if President Bush tries to sell arms to the Middle East. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's been smooth sailing for the Bush administration these past few weeks. A blip or two, perhaps, like the fiasco over the tax on savings accounts, but nothing to mar the honeymoon yet. But that could change suddenly if the administration goes forward with the rumored sale of fighter planes and missiles to Saudi Arabia and the other Arab nations in the Middle East. The Reagan administration was notorious for arms deals, Al. They never met a weapons sale they didn't like. Some of the most bruising foreign policy battles between Congress and the administration came over destabilizing arms deals in the Middle East. $6 billion to Saudi Arabia alone, AWACS planes, Sidewinder, Harpoon, and Stinger missiles, even F-15 fighters. Keep the honey in the honeymoon, Al. Put a lid on those arms deals and give the peace process a better chance.
Come on, Ted. Those countries in the Middle East are going to arm themselves defensively, whether we sell the arms to them or not. They can and have turned to Britain, France, China, or the Soviet Union for their big stick arsenal. Crazy. If the United States sells arms to any country, we have the chance to put on some conditions and assure that the concerns of our allies in the region are satisfied. Then we have the additional benefit of the money from the hardware and the support services we provide. We can ill afford to lose any opportunities to be of a positive influence in the Middle East. If those nations are forced to turn elsewhere for arms, Israel's security will be irreparably harmed, especially if the Arab countries turn to the suppliers who offer the arms that are potentially even more threatening and destructive to Israel. Sounds absolutely goofy to me. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the judicial confirmation process. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Just what is the real role of the American Bar Association when the Senate considers judicial nominations? Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, you and I both serve on the Judiciary Committee, where we review all judicial appointments. We just had a pretty lively discussion the other day of the role of the American Bar Association when we consider these judicial nominations. The ABA has ever increasingly exerted its influence in our committee's review work. That's our fault. Let's remember that the ABA is really no more than a trade association for lawyers. It's not the oracle of all knowledge when it comes to the qualifications of a nominee. Sure, they should be heard, but we should not defer to them as we have in the past. They won't even let our committee in on how their Judicial Review Committee members come up with their individual conclusions. They act in secrecy and arrogance. Ted, it's time to have a hearing on them. You ready for that one?
Read my lips, Al. Stop fighting the Battle of Bork. It's over. He didn't deserve to be a Supreme Court justice. Admit it, Al. That's the real reason you're mad at the American Bar Association. You don't like the messenger who brought the bad news about those unqualified turkeys Ed Meese and the Reagan administration kept choosing for judges. The Bar Association performs an indispensable role investigating qualifications of nominees for all federal courts, including the Supreme Court. It's a thankless job, but someone must do it. No administration likes to hear that its nominees are incompetents, political hacks, racists, drug users, or lemons of any other flavor. We get honest, in-depth investigations from the ABA, and their confidentiality should be protected. Maybe they could do better, Al, but if you had your way, they'd do a lot worse. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Bush administration's latest job offer. It's to me. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.